I don't know how many of you are that much of a chocolate lover that you could actually distinguish which chocolate is which one. Now, if you kind of look at the order, as I mentioned before, in terms of quality, now I'm guessing people have different preferences, but in terms of quality, it goes from the Lindt one to Latil to the Meiji to Cadbury. And also it's reflected in the price. But as you think about this, my question to you this morning is, what do you notice about this little experiment that we did? When you think about the context of discernment and being able to differentiate between one thing and another, what are some key things that you have to keep in mind? You know, I think to the average person, none of us in this room would be able to completely distinguish one chocolate from another. In fact, some of you guys, the men in this room, you guys are not really chocolate lovers. And so you could have M&Ms and it'll still be really good, right? You know how it works. But there are even chocolates that are from somewhere in Switzerland and some of these other places that are hundreds of dollars USD, and they are some expensive chocolate. And the only way you can order it is they put it in a sealed ice pack. We're talking about dry ice to keep a temperature control to then deliver it to your home. The thing for some of us in this room is this. We are not able to distinguish God's truth from a lie. And I think that's why many of us in this room, we have a problem and we struggle on a daily basis. We're trying to distinguish and trying to figure out, is this really from God? Or is this something from myself or what other people have said in their own opinion? And so as we start off part 7 today of this One Ambition series, we're going to talk about living this life so that we're able to distinguish and discern God's truth from a lie in our lives. So let me give us the one thing. The one thing is simply this. We can discern what is true when we learn how to turn to God's truth. So we can discern what is true as we learn how to turn to God's truth. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 4. We'll be looking at 6 verses here. And there are two things I'm going to highlight for us to remember as we discern what is true, as we learn how to turn to God's truth. The first point is this, that we have to be sensitive to the Spirit. We have to be sensitive to God's Spirit. Now, John starts off chapter 4 with this exhortation to discern so that we can distinguish truth from error. Now, once again, I want to make sure that you understand what we've been talking about all these weeks. There was a tremendous heresy, or if you will, false teaching that was going on in the early church. And so John wrote this letter to speak to the believers and says, you have to watch out for these antichrists, watch out for these false teachers and these false prophets, because they're speaking things that sound like the gospel, but it's not. And so that's why it's important to understand that he starts off again in this chapter about this whole importance of discernment. Now, can I just pause here and kind of put it in our context? When you think about some of the struggles in your life, you realize the struggle is really trying to discern what is a lie from Satan and what is a truth from God's word. Let me kind of put it this way so that you understand what I'm trying to say here. I think many of us come to a crisis of faith and we begin to struggle to make sense of everything that's happening in our lives. Here's some particular things that I want you to think about. Many of us in this room, we know that God is good. We've read that in scripture. You've heard it from sermons. You've read it in different books. You've heard it from testimonies from other people that God is good. But once again, as we know this truth in our heads, we wonder if he's really good, especially when bad things happen to us. So once again, you know something to be true, but you have a crisis of faith when something bad happens to you and you wonder, is God really that good? Another example, maybe for some of us to think about. We know that God is our provider. We see that all throughout scripture. We see how God, in an example-wise, showed the Israelite people and many of God's people that He provides all things, even the rain that comes from heaven above, that has been dependent upon God, that God is in control, that He provides all things, whether it's material, spiritual, whatever it may be, that God is the provider. But many of us, we know this truth, but we begin to wonder, will God really provide for me, especially when we are in a desperate need? So once again, we know something true, but yet through a crisis of faith and circumstance, we begin to wonder if it's really true. Let me give you one more. We know that God has the power to transform people. But we wonder if God is really powerful, especially powerful enough to change us when we repeatedly struggle with the same sin over and over again. Once again, you know something to be true, but then a crisis of faith, and then you wonder if God, that's who you really are. The reason why this is so important is because when you go through these things, that's when you are the most vulnerable to lies. This is when you will struggle the most in your spiritual journey. You know the truth, but you face something that's contradictory or apparent contradiction to what you know. And that's when you begin to wonder. And that's when Satan comes and he takes moments in those vulnerable times to speak lies to you. And many of us struggle through with that. I think that's why it requires us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to know what is from God, to know what is from Satan, to know what is from the world. Part of it is learning to listen and also to know the truth. And as we know in scripture, it says the truth will then set us free. So let me talk about two specific things, the subpoints, as we talk about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Two things of being sensitive to the Spirit in order to discern a truth from a lie. And we see this right here in the first three verses. The first thing to remember is this. Examine carefully. That we must examine carefully. Let's go ahead and read verse 1 of chapter 4 in 1 John, in the book of 1 John. If you don't have a Bible, you could hopefully read on with somebody next to you. Or once again, for us, we like to use YouVersion. You could download it and read it anytime. Listen to what it says in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Can we just pause here as we talk about this important idea of learning to examine carefully? What you will see is this. The Apostle John, right away in verse 1, he says, don't believe every spirit, but rather test the spirits to see if it's from God or not. Now, the reason why this is important, once again, as I mentioned earlier, there are so many false prophets and so many false teachers that there were teaching a lot of things that were contrary to the gospel. Now, if you look, if you were with us for all this time, if you look a little bit earlier in chapter 2, verse 18 through 27, in this whole section of chapter 2, he talks about the Antichrist and how he's deceiving and influencing people in the church and pulling them away from the truth, the word of God. Something that you have to keep in mind is during this time, there was no Bible. There was no New Testament. All they had was some of the things, the teaching that the Jewish people believed in, which Jesus Christ fulfilled. So they didn't have the Bible that we have today. So they are so dependent. They were so dependent on the teachers who would teach them truth. Now, one of the problems with that is, there are a lot of people who thought that they were teachers. They had gifts of teaching, but they, instead of teaching the truth and the word, they taught themselves and their own ideas and their own philosophies. Now, why is it important to test the spirits and to examine things carefully? Well, if you understand the nature of how Satan works, it will help us to understand the importance of examining things carefully. So once again, he says, test the spirits, examine it, and make sure you do this carefully. Let me quickly mention two things about Satan so that you understand why it's important to examine things carefully. First of all, Satan is a liar. We see this in Scripture. The Bible tells us that he's the father of lies, and lying is part of his nature. It's just who he is. John chapter 8, verse 44, listen to what it says. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I want you to notice some of those key phrases. He has nothing to do with the truth. There is no truth in him. Another thing that you will notice is it's out of his own character. I mean, literally, this is who he is. Every single time, the way he functions, the way he works in this world is to lie. Let me give you some other translations of that verse. The Message, it says this. He was a killer from the very start. He couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. When the liar speaks, he makes it up out of his lying nature and fills the world with lies. He just literally makes things up. And what he does is he fills the world with these lies. That's why there are some of us in this room who were not believers before you came to Hong Kong. And what you're struggling with right now and what you're fighting with is 18, 19, 20 years of your life living a certain way. And now you see the truth. And to undo all those things, it takes time. And that's why so many of us are impatient and we're struggling to keep our walk with Christ. And we're wondering, can God really change me? Is God really powerful? Is he really able to do this? Is he able to set me free from some of the struggles that I go through in my life? Some of you have conflicts with your parents. You need to understand, I'm saying this respectfully, but even if they go to church, if they have not been deeply transformed and renewed in their mind with God's truth, when they give you advice, it is from the secular world's advice. It's from humanistic philosophy of life. That's why you feel that there's this conflict with what they want from you or want for you and the things that you place in your heart, and you feel that God has put these things and this is what God wants from you. Oftentimes they are in conflict because they are not consistent with the Word of God. That's why you struggle. That's why some of us, we wonder, is this Christianity really worth it? Do I really need to give up my parents? Do I really need to do something that might hurt my parents? Listen to how it says in the NIV, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, I want you to catch this phrase, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Huh. It's like that person who's first language is Putonghua, and they're trying to speak English, and you can tell they're struggling, and they're trying to communicate their heart, but it's not really communicating their heart. And those who are native English speakers are looking at them like, what are you trying to say? And then all of a sudden, there's a Chinese person that walks in, and they're just like, brah, and they're like completely different people. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen those people? They're usually very quiet when they're in a certain environment, and all of a sudden, they're in this native language environment, all of a sudden they're like night and day. They're the most outgoing, extroverted person that you've ever met in your whole life. But when they're in this other environment, they're very quiet. Satan, his native language is lies. I mean, that's what he speaks. Now, why is this important? Because when you realize that he is a liar, then you realize, man, I better know what the truth is, because there might be some stuff that I'm believing in that Satan has placed in my mind that it's a lie. Another thing you need to know about Satan is that he is an impersonator. Do you know what an impersonator is? Impersonator is somebody who mimics, somebody who copies somebody else. I don't know how many of you have seen that Obama and Kim Jong-un, the imitators. Have you seen that on the videos? There's a lot of famous videos about these two guys who are traveling around the world and pretending they're Barack Obama, former president of the United States, and Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea. And a lot of people get fooled, thinking that it's them, but it's not. And so an impersonator is somebody who's trying to be like somebody else. That's what Satan is. Not only is he a liar, but he's an impersonator. Now, this is the part I want you to think about. The amazing thing about an impersonator is there are certain things that are very similar to the truth or about the original. And that's why Satan is so clever. Satan twists the truth just enough of God's truth, just enough, where it looks like the truth, but it really isn't. He's not going to flat out come against God's word where so opposite that anyone could tell. But he does it just enough where it sounds like the truth, but it really isn't, unless you could discern. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 4, Satan was trying to tempt Jesus? Satan was even using scripture to tempt Jesus. And he used those scriptures in the wrong way. And that's why Jesus came back with him with scripture. And eventually he says, go away. Now, Satan is constantly trying to impersonate himself as the light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Listen to what it says in the New Living Translation. Even Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. Let me give you a couple other versions of that. New King James, it says this. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And the NIV says, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Now, why is this important? Because when someone is disguising themselves, somebody is masquerading themselves, somebody is transforming themselves to be an angel of light. This whole book, it talks about being in the light. You know what that means? That means that there are many of us in this room, we cannot tell the difference. If you are still spiritually immature, if you are still young in your faith, if you are still holding on to that grudge, if you're still struggling through to renew your mind and to even simple things as forgive people, to love people, then I'm telling you right now that it is going to be very difficult to distinguish what is the true light and what is the imitation light. Since Satan is a liar and an impersonator, it is that much more important that we examine what the truth is and what a lie is. Even Apostle Paul warned the people of Thessalonica to test everything. Listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. He says this, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Don't just take anything in. Test it. Another translation of that, it says this, do not stifle those who have a word from the master. On the other hand, don't be what? Everyone say that word. Gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. That's what's going on all over the world, and especially in the United States, the fake news. And I will say this, it bothers me that there are so many Christians who are the ones who promote and continue to spread fake news. That's why there are websites to check if whatever you think is true, if it's true or not. Do you know that? There are websites to actually check to see if some of the things that the Christian circles are talking about, if it's really true or not. Because Christians are known to be very what? Gullible. Gullible means that you easily believe things. Once again, because we don't think. We just take everything in without actually examining carefully. That's why so many of us, we don't have convictions in our lives, because it's because someone else told us this. Oh, then I guess I swear. But you don't know why you're doing it. Take membership class. Take the baptism. You got to get baptized. And you're just listening to what they're saying without really knowing why I need to do this. Why am I going on a missions project? Why am I going to life group? Why am I coming out on Sunday? Is Jesus the only way? No wonder so many of us, we end up compartmentalizing our faith. And so unless there's a retreat where we get the spiritual high, or we're experiencing something really powerful emotionally, many of us, we are so gullible that Satan knows that about you, and he begins to put little lies, and you believe in these lies, and you struggle in your life with God, and there's nothing more than Satan, that Satan would love than for you to turn away from Christ. There's nothing more that he would love than to have you deny Christ, to give up, to quit. You know, when a church is growing, I hope you guys, all of us in this room, we understand when a church is growing, there's always an increased level of spiritual battle or spiritual warfare. In fact, I would say there will be more manifestation of evil things, the evil spirits that come about. And as you know, we've only been here for about a year and a half, and we're seeing tremendous growth. And even as we look ahead into the future, as we are selecting even new leaders and doing all these things, we just realize that God is, the harvest is always plentiful, but the workers are few. And as we're looking ahead to all that God has in store for us, we're realizing that this is truly a work of God. But it is so easy in the midst of this growth for Satan to come in through the back door and start planting different lies into people's minds. And so if we're not able to discern what's from the Spirit of God and what's from the spirit of the world or from Satan, it is so easy then to be misled and deceived. And I say this because even when we were in Ann Arbor, in HMCC of Ann Arbor, I remember we were in a period of growth. God was doing some tremendous things. Not only were we growing in numbers, but we were growing in depth. There were people who were actually encountering God powerfully. We're talking about like just spirit encounters where people who were addicted to certain things in that one meeting, and whether it's a prayer gathering, whether it's some of these larger group gatherings that we had, people were being delivered in that moment. A lot of things from the past, even memories from the past that has began to affect them so much in their lives. As they encountered God, God was doing some tremendous things. The Spirit of God was moving. It was powerful. And I remember it was during that time when there seemed to be this strong like opposition that was coming. And one time I was preaching at one of our large group gatherings on a Friday night. And as I was preaching, I don't know why, but there was just a lot of distractions. I could just tell whether it was just people, they're tired, or maybe they had other things on their minds, and there were just like different things in the environment. There were so many distractions that were going on. So this was happening all the while as I was preaching, and I realized something's not right. As I was trying to discern, I'm like, something's not right. But I couldn't like pause. I just ended up, kept on preaching. But in my spirit, I was praying that God will, whatever it is, that God is more powerful, that he will be able to overcome. And after the whole service was over, after we finished the closing worship, there was a commotion that was coming from the corner of this room in this auditorium. And people came up to me, Pastor Seth, can you come over quickly? And they were trying to explain to me that there's this person, it seemed like she might even be demon possessed. And so we might need to pray for her. And so I remember just coming down, and I went over to this person. And literally, she was kind of like sitting on the chair, but she was sitting almost straight, like a plank. And there were a couple people just trying to hold her down, and they were trying to pray for her. And so I kind of stepped in, and I told them to kind of move aside, and, you know, I found out what her name was, and I just began to pray. And as I was praying, she was literally like shrieking. She was like, ah, ah, and she was like shaking. And I don't know what kind of came over me. I think in that moment, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is like Satan right there manifested in this person. So I started getting a little bit freaked out. So then as she was going, I'm like, in Jesus' name. So I started raising my voice. And then as I was raising my voice, she started raising her voice. You should have seen it. It was literally a shouting match. You know, who is stronger? Jesus, Satan, Jesus, Satan. We were just going back and forth. I'm like, Jesus, Satan, the blood of Jesus. And we were going back and forth. And you could imagine the people around me, they were just looking and they're like, oh my God, I'm going to go early right now. I mean, they were freaking out. And as we were going, and as I was praying for them, like, you know, we're like praying for this girl. Something just dawned upon me as we were going over this shouting match. I realized, wait a minute, why am I yelling? You know when you get one of those moments, like you're just like, wait a minute, why am I yelling? If Jesus conquered the death, he conquered death and the grave, and then we have his resurrection power, that he has defeated Satan, then I don't even have to yell. I could just even whisper. In Jesus' name. So you know what I did? As I was going, what am I doing? I just calmed down. And I said, in Jesus' name. At first I told this person, calm down. And I said, in Jesus' name, calm down. I kid you not, in that brief moment, in that moment of just kind of lowering my voice, telling her to calm down, she was just calm. And then I began to speak to her. And just with the limited time that we had, I was saying, what is going on? And then one of the sisters in our church, who was her leader, kind of knew her story. So she was trying to fill me in as this girl was literally just sitting there like this, almost frozen. Found out that she went through some excruciating pain, emotional pain. And in the last several months of that time, she was cutting herself. Sounds very familiar to what we see in scripture of the man in the cave who kept on cutting himself to numb the pain. And so I realized really quickly that the pain that she experienced, Satan used that as the back door to come into her life and to have a stronghold in her life that even caused her to cut herself so she could numb that pain instead of turning to Jesus. And Satan then had a stronghold in her life because there were all these lies. She felt she was so unworthy. She felt like what happened to her was just like, she kept on saying, why? There is no God. And she kept on saying all these things that were complete lies, but she believed in it so much that Satan just, all he had to do is just tell her to sit and she would have sat. And as soon as I realized that, we began to walk through her the steps of freedom. Say this prayer of deliverance. I began to bind any of the spirits from the past. I had some of those people who knew her to pray with me, pray for her. And I will say that it wasn't instantaneous because she kept on going back to her old way of life. But I will say right now, she is doing phenomenally well. In fact, I just received an email not too long ago of just some things that God is doing in her life. And I share this as a testimony to God, because for so many of us, what we forget is that we have Christ, the resurrected Christ, on our side. And that's why it is important to understand how Satan wants to do everything to go against what Christ desires. And the more we're able to distinguish from truth to a lie, that's when we're going to experience genuine freedom. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said in his book, in the book Christian Reflection. He wrote this: there is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. What that means is that as soon as you take two steps forward, Satan will do everything possible to take those two steps back. As soon as you finish the retreat and you're so excited, you want to live for God, There's going to be lies that he's going to put into your mind so that whatever steps that you took after the retreat, you're going to not want to go back. Even relationally, maybe with your roommate or your parents or whoever it may be, as soon as you made some decision, I'm going to try to love them and I'm going to try to do the things that God wants me to do, and you made this resolve, as Satan knows that, he is now pushing back to push you further into your victim mentality and your situation you're in. Every second that is claimed by God, Satan is counterclaiming those things. Every movement forward will be counterclaimed by Satan as he pushes you backwards. Because he is a liar and an impersonator. Not only do we examine carefully, but look what it says in verse 2 and 3, that we have to evaluate correctly. Let's read verse 2 and 3. Listen to what it says. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. What we notice in these two verses, after he talks about examining carefully and to test the spirits, he says here that we have to evaluate correctly of what it is. Is it really from God or is it really from Satan? And he gives us a couple specific traits to evaluate. The first thing is this. Anyone who confesses the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that word incarnation simply means God himself came down into this world in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. God being deity came in the form of man in the flesh. That is what we call the incarnation. And he goes, anyone who confesses the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that person is someone who is walking in the truth and someone who knows the truth. Because there were many people who believed that Jesus was a good teacher, but not the Son of God. So you will know if it's really from the Spirit, if that person can confess that Jesus Christ came in human form. Another trait, confesses that Jesus Christ is from God. The person has to believe that Jesus was revealed by God and not by human means. That even though he came in a form of human, it was God who revealed himself, God who worked. I want you to also note in verse 2 and 3, you'll see the word confess. The word confess can be translated as to acknowledge. Now, it is so important. Let me just make this point here as we're talking about spiritual warfare and just being sensitive to the Spirit. We have to keep in mind that to acknowledge or to confess is not just intellectual agreement. Listen, a lot of us, we think that, oh yeah, I acknowledge Jesus. I confess that Jesus is Lord. But for some of us, we are practicing atheists. You can say it with your words, but if you do not live according to that very truth of Jesus Christ being Lord over your life, then you are intellectually agreeing with this, but not believing it in your heart. Now, why is this something that's very important? Because even Satan acknowledges that Jesus and God, they're one. Even Satan acknowledges that he's the Son of God. Do you remember James chapter 2, verse 19? Listen to what it says in the New Living Translation. Do you still think it's enough to just to believe that there is one God? Well, even the demons believe this and they tremble in fear. How many times in the Gospels do you see when Jesus comes, these people who are demon-possessed and evil spirits, they're shrieking, they're like literally crying out, and they said, Son of David, or the Son of God, what do you want with us? So even evil spirits acknowledge and confess that Jesus is Lord. For some of us in this room, it is not enough, I hope you understand this, just to intellectually agree. That's what John is trying to say, that you have to confess and to acknowledge, which is translated as not just intellectual agreement, but it is a belief that you are trusting in that will change your lifestyle. That's what he's addressing here. That's why the same concept as Apostle Paul had in mind when he said to the people of Corinth, he says, you will know something is truly from God. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. So if you want to know how to discern what is truly from God, No one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus, and no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except for the Spirit, except by the Holy Spirit. So once again, you can agree in your head, but part of confessing with your mouth is believing in your heart, and that's where your life is being transformed. Can I ask us, how about us? Are you examining and evaluating things in your life and seeing if it's from God or not? Man, I'm wondering what would happen if some of us were really to take an inventory of our whole life. Are there some areas that if you were to really examine and carefully evaluate, you realize, man, this is not from God. Like, why am I so fixated on success? God never talked about success. He always talked about faithfulness. Can I just share? This is just my opinion. This is more of a pastoral thing that I want you to listen. Some of us in this room, you're still very young, and you're just in college, and you're kind of aspiring to do all these things. I'm going to really challenge you. Stop following the ways of the world to find success and be successful and get a job and do all this stuff. Have you ever once stopped and questioned? Your whole life you've been told you need to get straight A's. Your whole life you've been told you need to get a certain mark. Your whole life you've been told that you need to get a certain degree. Your whole life you've been told that you gotta have this amount of money in your bank account to have this kind of person or this kind of life. Have you once ever just paused and re-evaluated if it's really from God or if it's a man-made philosophy that has been preached to you that you just believed in and now you're headed in that direction? Now, please don't misunderstand me. I think internships are very important. But who says you need an internship to get a job in the future? So here are some of us who are willing to sacrifice so many great things that God is wanting to do in your life just for this internship. Because why? Because I need this to get a job. And I need a job because I need to live. I need to support my family. So once again, there's nothing wrong with that. But some of us, we have bought into this lie. If I don't get it, then I'm not going to be able to do anything and my life is not going to be worth anything if I don't get that degree. And I want to just say this to you. There have been many people who have done incredible things with no internships. There have been people who graduated from lesser universities than some of you right now are transforming the world. I don't know how many PhD students we have here, but there's not enough schools to teach for the number of PhDs that's given. And all the PhD students are like, oh, how did he know? I was looking for a job. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying. And those of you who have internships, please don't say, oh my God, he's judging me. Because I don't know who you are. I'm just saying. To think, to reevaluate. Some of us, we put certain things above other things, but in light of eternity, this is the thing that's going to have the most impact in your life and in the world. But you choose this when you don't even evaluate, why in the world am I doing this? Why am I pursuing this? And if you would give some thought and you would discern from the Spirit of God, you realize I'm doing this because this is what I know. This is what I see with pastors. That's why I'm very passionate when it comes to raising up pastors. Everyone thinks, oh, I go to college, and then after college, I get a degree, and then I go to seminary. I go to seminary, and then I try to find a job in a church somewhere. And then once I get a job, then I could be an associate pastor or start a church if I want to. And somehow you think, magically, you're going to be this awesome pastor. In fact, in our church, I tell people, you better not go to seminary right away. That's the worst decision you can make. Because you have so much character issues to work on your life. And here you are, you're going to be fed all this information. Your head is going to get so big, you can't even walk out of that door. Knowing that we have so many people who go to seminary and they're so proud. I don't care how much you know. But pastor, that's what you got to do. No, you don't. Who said? No wonder so many people go to seminary and they don't have a place to, or they don't even have any community or any spiritual mentors who will guide them and lead them. So they know a lot, but they have no one. Who says that? Are you discerning? Do you know the truth from the lie? And remember, a lie is usually a slightly twisting of the truth. So it sounds good, it sounds biblical, but it's not. I could go on forever on this one, give you examples after example, but somebody like, hurry up with pastor with point two, so we can finish. And please don't say quickly here, because it might not be quickly. You must be sensitive to the Spirit. And the second and last point is this. We must not only be sensitive to the Spirit, but we must be steadfast in the Spirit. Let's close out with verse 4, 5, and verse 6. Listen to what John writes. He says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is how he closes out this section. John mentions about being sensitive to the Spirit by examining carefully and to evaluate correctly. And then he addresses this issue of fear. It's kind of subtle, but you'll catch it. Because as you think about, oh my God, there's truth and lie, there's a spiritual battle, Satan, he's trying to do all this stuff, it is really easy for a believer then to start feeling this fear and this uncertainty. Then how will I ever know what's true or not? Oh my God, even the decision I made last night or the decision I made for this rest of the semester and the summer, what I'm going to do, is it really from God? And there's this anxiety that begins to build. And so it's amazing how he knows that and he addresses it. Because as you know, fear, what it does is it paralyzes us. This is when we forget some of the basic truths of God and what he said in the Bible. Whenever you have fear, I'm telling you right now, you are drifting away from the truth. I'll talk about this in a couple weeks, but it says perfect love will what? Cast out all fear. So if you're not growing in God's love, you're not drinking and soaking in all of God's love for you, the depth and the height and the width and the length, the greatness of the love of God, you will be driven by fear. I want to challenge you, if there's ever fear, that should be the first yellow light or this flag that's waving that says you are drifting. If you start fearing man, you're drifting. You're fearing the future, you are drifting. I'm not saying that you will never experience it. I experience it all the time. Being anxious. Fear of certain things. That's why I have to recalibrate and also just refocus and realizing that it's so easy to be drifting away. You guys know what I'm talking about when you're drifting away. I hate it when I'm walking and this other person is walking towards me. But they're not looking. Where are they looking? It's amazing. Can I just say, if that's you, get off your phone. And start looking up to Jesus. I mean, don't be weird, go. But look up, look at people's faces. See if they need Jesus. I mean, God, you know how it works. I'm walking. Got my headphones on. I'm just walking and trying to pray or think about things of the next meeting that I'm going to go to, and here's this person. And then they start drifting. So they're actually coming. So then I try to move, but they keep on drifting. So then I walk this way. And I don't know what spirit that they're listening, but they start drifting towards me. But the whole time, they have like, they're doing this. And I'm thinking, what kind of spirit is he listening to? Because so sometimes, literally, what I do, I just stop. If you ever see me, you probably think, who is this man? He is not from Asia. Anyway, literally, sometimes I just stop. So I have my backpack on, I have my phone, and I see this person drifting, not paying attention. So I just sometimes just stop. Not that I want to get into confrontation. No, please, come on. Let's be nice. Let's be loving. There are other times in my impatience and my lack of love, I simply say, and I don't want to scare them too much, just a little bit, just a little bit. I go, watch out! Sorry, I think I scared some people here. And they weren't even drifting, they were actually paying attention. I would literally, as they were going, I go, watch out! And they go like this. That's why those people with their little ring right there, you know, they're like. But the other people who don't have the little rings, they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Watch out! And then the worst are the couples. There's a little sidewalk that's really tight. And they decide, we're in love. And we're just going to consume the whole sidewalk. And there was a game that I used to play when I was younger. It's called Red Rover. Red Rover. Send Seth over. It's a game in the United States where you hold hands. And then now they banned it because people's arms were getting torn and all that kind of stuff. You're supposed to all hold hands. And you call out people's names, send whatever over. And then they will run and they will try to break the hand. And if they can't, then they come to your side and we make a longer chain. And the team with the longest human chain wins this game. There are times when I see a couple holding hand in hand and they're taking my lane. Remember, stay in your lane. Sometimes I just want to go Red Rover, Red Rover. It's like Seth over. Once again, please, that's my bad side. If I'm in the spirit, I just tend to walk a little bit closer to the wall. This is so important. Listen, I know I'm kind of telling some ridiculous stories and examples, but listen. So many of you in this room, you are controlled by fear. And it breaks my heart. That's how you live your life. Fear people, fear what they're going to think about you, fear failure. If it breaks my heart, a cold-hearted guy like me at times, with zero compassion at times, I'm wondering how much it breaks God's heart. That you are so driven and you live with fear. That is not the way it's supposed to be. And my heart breaks for you. And I'm praying really hard, Lord, help them to know your love so deeply so that perfect love will cast out all fear. When we forget some of the basic truths as we discern, then we're going to start drifting. And so John reminds the believers, listen, he reminds the believers of a couple things that will help. And I think it's going to help you. First, he says, remember, we are God's possession. He says, we belong to God. We are from God. And he calls us little children. It's a term of endearment, of love. And he says, you're my little child. You're my children. You belong to me. You're from me. This is one of the first steps we have to remember if we're going to overcome fear and be steadfast in the Spirit. We have to know who we are and who it is that possesses us. The more you know who you are, a child of God, little children, and God our Father, and He owns us, He possesses us, He has purchased us with His Son's blood, as Jesus Christ died on the cross, as you begin to understand that it's God of the universe who is possessing us, it will transform the way you live, and whatever fear that you have, it will completely be taken away. Why? Because who cares what people think? As long as the God of the universe who controls all things, what He says about me is what is true. That's why you can always tell people who know the love of God deeply or even more deeply than some of us. It's because I don't want to say they're reckless, but they are literally completely abandoned and they will do anything, even if that makes them look foolish. Why? Because they're loved by God. If you ever look at little children and when they see their parents or their dad and they run, and when they run, they jump. I mean, I always think like, oh my God, you know, they're literally like leaping. It's like the Wolverine, just leaping and, you know, killing people. They would literally just, with their eyes closed, they'd run and they would just go, catch me. Can you imagine if someone says, no. Can you imagine how scarring that would be for the child? Because they know that daddy or mommy, they're going to catch them. And so that's why they don't even think. They just run and they go, and then the father grabs them. You look at that. I mean, some of you are a little scientific, yeah, with the trajectory of that. But, you know. But if you really think about it, just this kid just leaping, it's because he trusts the Father. Amen. He doesn't care about all the fear of failure. He doesn't care about what other people think. Literally, he's doing it because he knows the Father. So if you know who you are and who possesses you, it will literally transform your life. No wonder the Israelite people, they knew this and they were constantly reminded by God. Do you remember Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6? It says this, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of this earth." Can you imagine as an Israelite person growing up constantly being told that God has chosen you, He has chosen us, and that we are His treasured possession? But sadly, as you know the history of Israelite people, even though they knew this, they continued to stray away. Thus the heart of a man, the heart of a woman. Not only are we God's possession, but this is what helps us, that we have God's power. The promise that John gave to the believers is that the Spirit which is in us is greater than the Spirit that's in the world. Everyone say greater. Greater. Come on, let's say it again. Greater.
Greater.
John says the Spirit of God that's in you is greater than the spirit of this world. I want you to note the phrase, "have overcome." Everyone see that? You will notice that phrase, "have overcome." And I want you to note this. It is in the perfect tense. And if you study this in the original language, listen to me carefully. The reason why this is such an important phrase in this whole section here is because this idea of "you have overcome," that idea says that it is literally an action that has been done in the past, but has continuing effects for the present and the future. So literally, if I could translate it in a different way, it will be, we have overcome and we are overcoming and we will continue to overcome. That's what John is saying. That's why when you understand the victory that Christ has given to us, it is decisive once and for all, and now it has effects for the future. Wow, understanding His power, that He literally killed His Son and then raised Him from the dead, that resurrection power is now in us. And this power enables us to overcome fear and everything else we face. doubts, whatever it may be that you struggle with. How about us? Are we being steadfast in God's Spirit? Or do we find ourselves trusting in our own power? I'm wondering how often we forget who we are and who possesses us on a given day, especially when finals or midterms or other things or stress at work. We always forget who we are and who possesses us. We think that our boss possesses us. We think that this grade owns us. No, it doesn't. If you know who the Father is, do you believe in His power? That's what's going to help you to stay steadfast in His Spirit, is when you know who you are and then who God is in His power. That's why this is simply the gospel. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and resurrected from the dead, He actually won the victory for us. The war is over. But Satan will do everything possible to win little battles to discourage you, to distract you, to derail you. But this is where we realize Christ is our victor. He is the one who's fighting for us. That's why we throw our lives to Him and say, God, I cannot do this. I cannot win this battle by myself. I cannot overcome. But Lord, You have won the war. You have overcome. So I trust in You as my Lord and Savior. This is another reason why we can cry out to Him in prayer. So the one thing, once again, is that we can discern what is true as we learn how to turn to God's truth. I'm going to help us to kind of lead into this coming week, especially in life group, as we'll kind of talk about this more in detail. But I want to just challenge us with several things. First of all, diligently study the Bible. Some of you, I'm praying one day it will hit you so hard you realize, wow, I really need to read this word. It's not just something that pastor or my leader says all the time. I'm going to be as blunt as possible, and I'm going to do it in a loving way, but listen to me carefully. Some of you are only going to be with us for 4 years, or maybe even a couple of years, and you're going to move on. And you're going to move to a city or a country where it might be very difficult to find a community. You might find a church, and you might go on Sunday, but it will not be the kind of community that you've experienced here. Some of you might go back to a place, a country, as laws are constantly changing up north, that I will say right now, it will be difficult for you to be a believer. In fact, the only way you're going to be able to be a believer and worship God with other believers is you do it secretively, underground. Because the consequences will be, you will be interrogated and jailed, and you might even be separated from parents and they don't even know where you are. I think about that often. And then I think about where some of you are who are from that country, where it's going to get hard. Some of you might be placed in the Middle East. You're no longer going to have Sunday HMCC in the canteen, even though some of you are like, gosh, get us out of here. You will no longer have a Tuesday, Wednesday, or even Thursday life group. It's just you and Jesus. It might just be you and Jesus and the Bible. And if you do not build up a love and a diligence to read the word now, when things are so comfortable, when things get hard, there's a good possibility some of you will fall away and turn away. If you don't believe me, look at every single break that you had. Winter break, Chinese New Year break. Every time you went home, my challenge to you is this. Were you growing and thriving? Or were you struggling? Because you're so dependent on HMCC Hong Kong as a structure, because you have all these meetings to go to that you think you're growing spiritually, but it's just meetings. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're reading the word, and you're studying it diligently, because I want to know You, God. I want to know You. I want to love You. I want to know what the truth is. Not only when Pastor Seth is saying these things, or when my leader tells me this, I want to know You, what Your word says, until we can come to that point. It's going to be a difficult road. I'm going to challenge us. Make a commitment, whatever it takes. Diligently study the Word of God. Make it a priority. More than, I was going to pick on our sister here this morning, but I was going to say, more than eating chocolate every single morning. But more than brushing your teeth. More than taking a shower. Some of you take more showers than reading the Bible. This thought just came to my mind as I was looking out. Some of you take a shower in the morning and the evening. You bookend your life of that day with a shower. And I'm thinking, I'd rather smell and know Jesus than smell nice and not know Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on. We shower more than we read the Bible. Jesus. Some of you are not going to take showers and not read the Bible and say, huh, so you can't say anything about me. Please take a shower. Please take a shower. Secondly, listen, discern the spiritual battle. Can I just encourage us? Be alert. Wake up. There's a spiritual battle going on. Every time there's a conflict with somebody, just realize Satan is wanting to divide. Every single time something happens and makes you anxious and makes you worried and not trusting God, you're drifting. Quickly say, don't say everything is spiritual because you ate chicken hot pot and you ate it spicy. That's why your stomach is churning. Don't go, I feel something. It is spiritual battle. No, it's not. It's those nasty chundu little, the Sichuan peppers that's churning in your stomach. It's not spiritual battle. It's the other S, stupidity. Stop eating. Stop eating spicy food if you can't handle it. But what I'm trying to say, as you know my heart, listen to my heart. What I'm trying to say is there are times when Satan will use conflicts, fear, other things to pull you away. Be aware of that. Discern when those things are. And lastly, declaratively live in God's glory, God's victory. What I mean by that is this. Every morning you wake up, every noonday as you're abiding with Christ, listen. Make some declarative phrases or have some declarative thoughts in your mind of who Jesus is and who Satan is. The Bible tells us that he has put Satan under our feet. Amen? And what do you do when he's under your feet? Just like King Kong, what do? Bam! You destroy it. So I want everyone to just do that. I know it's kind of weird. But lift up one of your feet, ready? On the count of three, we're going to stop. We're going to go like that, okay? On the count of three. Some of you are like, oh my God. Please, just for Jesus and for me. Please, okay? The Bible says he's gonna put Satan under our feet. What that means is we're gonna literally put him down. That's a declarative sentence. Okay? Are you ready? Lift up one of your feet. On the count of three. And we're going to scare some of them. There are people passing by. So they're like, what is this guy doing? What? You know? Okay, ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Some of you need to get new shoes. I'm going to close. Some of you might have seen this video that went viral. In fact, it was made in Taiwan because they were trying to encourage some of these older generation who are now very successful to help these young millennials, young people like you, to kind of get a start in the career. And so what they did was this. They brought in some of these successful CEOs and different people of companies who are managers. They brought them in, and they didn't know this, but they ended up giving CVs, their resumes of different people. And they hid the name so they didn't know who it was. It was supposed to be like a blind kind of, and the way they presented it is, we would love to have your input and your insights to whether you will hire someone like this or not. And so these resumes were put in front of them and they would look through it and they go, oh, the education, oh, they had no work experience. And they would just go on and then at the end, when they took out the little tag that was there, they found out that these were people that they knew. really powerful. Just, I want you to watch this. And the reason why I wanted to close with this is that there are so many people who think they could discern and know the heart of God, and we can't. Only the Spirit of God can. There are people who already have written you off. But because God has won the victory, and you are owned, possessed by God, He will make sure that His children, you being His child, would not be forgotten. That's why we got to live being sensitive to where the Spirit is leading us and steadfast as the Spirit of God takes us from place to place. Let's watch this together. Let's stand together as we close. Do you see how the world sees people? It's about education, your work experience. And you should have seen their response when they realized these are famous people who are making millions and millions and millions of dollars, making an impact all over the world. That's how God sees us. And so often we try to follow the way of the world. We're going to get into that school. We're going to get that GPA. We got to do this. We got to build up our resume. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with doing well in school. There's nothing wrong with going to a good school. There's nothing wrong with publishing another journal in another journal. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. But I realize for some of us, we have literally been so brainwashed and soaked into the things of this world that we will be willing to sacrifice everything to get it. And that is not God's heart for you. You forgo your relationship with God. You say to yourself, I don't need church. I don't need anyone. I just need myself. I got to trust in myself. Can we just bow our heads for a moment here? And I'm going to ask us with our eyes closed. I want you to think, just picture with me, will you, just for a moment here. You're right at the edge of this road. And at this edge, it diverges into two different roads. The one on the left, it seems as if not too many people have traveled on. The one on the right, there's a clear path. It seems very smooth. And you're standing there trying to decide, because you have to keep on going. You have to keep on walking. Which road would I choose? This is where you need spiritual discernment. Where you have to know the truth from a lie. And to be able to be sensitive to the Spirit and steadfast in the Spirit and say, God, as I examine carefully and evaluate correctly, where is your truth? Because you are more than your grades. You're more than your GPA, more than that exam that you just took. You're more than that. You're more than what your parents say that you did or you failed in. You're more than what the world says about you or even your friends say about you. And it's in that moment of crossroad where you have to ask yourself, will I discern and know the truth and the truth will set me free? Or will I choose the things of this world and lead me to greater pain and bondage? And I'm just praying that as Christ has won the victory for us, He has gone on the path that is less traveled by. And He is waiting on that other side. He's waiting for you to come. That's why He said in His Word, as we've studied many times, come unto Me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Learn of Me. Take My yoke and learn of Me. And I'm going to teach you. For I am gentle and meek of heart. Some of you are so tired and so weary because you're going on a path that the world has told you that this is it. And I'm telling you right now, in this moment of this crossroad moment, as you look at these two paths, God is inviting you to come. Let Him say who you are. Don't let these CEOs, your teachers, your parents, let's let the truth, the Word of God, tell you who you are and who you could become. Father, I want to believe by faith right now in Jesus' name. Every single person here, in the sound of my voice, God, that we will learn to lay down those things, the burdens that we've been carrying, those things that have been heavily weighted upon us, Lord, that hinders us from not only walking, but running and even flying. I just pray, Lord, we will lay it down at the foot of the cross. I pray that we will acknowledge and admit our weaknesses and how much we need you. I pray, Lord, that you will convict us once again of the truth, that you will give us a spirit of discernment, that we will discern what the truth is. Help us to learn this, Lord. And I'm praying, Lord, that as we take a step of faith, little by little, that there will be a deeper transformation in our lives. I pray the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, our counselor, our helper, Holy Spirit, come and fill us up, anoint us for this coming week, that we can live with the power that you've given unto us, because we are your possession. We are loved by you. We are your treasure possession. I'm just going to ask us right now as we close out, can we just take a moment, and I want you to pray to God in your own, with your own words, and that Spirit of God that's in us. Let's confess that we've lived this life on our own. We've believed in lies. We haven't discerned what the truth of the Word of God is. And let's just ask the Lord this coming week that we will live according to the truth. We'll discern what the truth is. Help us to be diligent in studying the Word. Help us to wake up every morning and decide that there is a spiritual warfare that's going on. I want to overcome. And that we're going to declaratively every morning say, Jesus, you rose again from the dead. And I am yours, and you have given me life. And I'm going to live victoriously as victors in Christ, warriors for Jesus. Let's make that commitment this week and see God transform us. Come on, let's just lift our voices together as we get to close out in this week.